Excerpt 7. As I heard from a certain elder, who had heard it from those who had seen the envoys, and from those who had been their disciples, the punishment in the writings was sufficient for the ancients regarding the things they did without the guidance of the Spirit. For God is no respecter of persons. He brought a worthy punishment upon whatever things happened which were not according to his good pleasure. As in the case of King Solomon, who took to himself foreign women. And the foreign women turned his heart away after strange gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, for his heart was not perfect with the Lord, as was the heart of his father David.
The scriptures had thus sufficiently reproved him,
as the elder remarked,
in order that no flesh may glory in the sight of the Lord. And it was because of this that the Lord descended into the regions under the earth to preach the good news of his advent even there, making forgiveness of sins available to those who believe in him. Therefore we should not,
as that elder remarks,
be haughty or rebuke the ancients, but instead we ourselves should fear lest having come to the knowledge of Christ, if we do things displeasing to God, we should no longer have forgiveness of sins, but be shut out of his kingdom.
Therefore, the righteous judgments of God, both there and here, are the same. There, on the one hand, typically and temporarily and by measure, but here, on the other hand, truly and eternally and without measure. For the fire is eternal, and the wrath of God, which is revealed from heaven from the face of our Lord, entails greater punishment for those who fall into it. The elder used to demonstrate these people to be extremely foolish, who attempt from the things which happened to the ancients who were disobedient to God to sneak in another father by setting these things in opposition to what the Lord did when he came to save those who received him, showing them mercy, while remaining silent about his judgment and about what will happen to those who hear his words and do not do them. The elder used to demonstrate that it would have been better for them had they not been born, and that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city which does not receive the word of his disciples. Again, those who cavil and find fault, because in the Exodus, when the people departed, they did, by the command of God, take vessels of all kinds and garments from the Egyptians, from which things the dwelling was also constructed in the wilderness, prove themselves ignorant of the righteous judgments of God and of his dispensations. Exactly as the elder also used to say. For if God had not conceded this in the typical Exodus, so no one could be saved today in our true Exodus. That is, in the faith through which we have been brought out together from among the nations. The elder used to delight us by recounting certain matters like these concerning the ancients. And he used to say,
with respect to those transgressions for which the scriptures themselves reprove the patriarchs and prophets, we ought not to reproach, nor become like Ham, who ridiculed the shame of his father and fell under a curse, but instead give thanks to God in their behalf, because at the coming of our Lord, he forgave them their sins.
For he also used to say that they gave thanks for and rejoiced in our salvation.
With respect to those things which the Scriptures do not reprove, but simply leave alone, we ought not to become accusers. For we are not more exact than God, nor can we be above the teacher, but we should search for a type. For not one of those things which has been left unaccused in the Scriptures is without significance.
Also, in this manner, the elder, a disciple of the envoys, made discourse concerning the two covenants, proving that both are truly from the one and the same God. For there is no other God besides Him who created and formed us. Nor does their word have any foundation, who say that this world of ours was made either by messengers, or by another power, or by another God. Every word will also seem consistent to anyone who has faith in one God, if he, for his part, diligently reads the writings in company with those who are elders in the assembly, among whom is the envoic teaching, as I have pointed out. For all the envoys taught that there were indeed two covenants among the two peoples, but that it was one and the same God who appointed both covenants for the advantage of those humans for whose sakes the covenants were given, who were to put their faith in God.